Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Monday, everybody. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell, and I'm honestly kind of surprised today. We were over at my place Saturday night after you got done with Sessions, America's favorite local original music show at Solid State Radio.
Yeah, all of America decides if they're going to listen to Michigan-made music, it's going to be Sessions.
Damn straight, as well they should. And after the show, you'd hit me up. I was kind of bouncing my way around from bar to bar in the greater Lapeer, Columbiaville area.
Right, right.
We had wandered up to the Benny's in Millington to check out. They had this whole like flight of like fancy Christmas cocktails.
I saw that. We're going to have to zero back to that.
Oh, yeah.
Or unless you want to talk about it now.
We'll get to that at some point. Sure. Yeah, for sure. Actually, I'm trying to remember, like, I'm trying to really rack my brain as to what was in, like, the two on the end that you saw that were, like, really, like, kind of chocolatey looking. The one was peppermint rum chata and coffee liqueur of some sort.
Ooh, that would have been good.
The other one was something similar to that. The blue one was, like, blue curacao vodka and pineapple juice. And the other was, like, cranberry juice and gin. It tasted like a Christmas tree, dude.
Yeah, cranberry. Oh, and gin. Okay, yeah. So gin and juice. Okay,
and then an apple cider in the middle, which was mighty tasty from one of those Cider Boys ones.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Those are pretty decent.
Yeah.
I don't even like cider normally. But then we'd stopped at up at Backdoor to check out Days of Glory.
Where did you stop off at?
The Holloway Bar and Grill. Yeah. Whatever. it's Backdoor. It's always going to be Backdoor. Sorry, Tim and Gretch. Stopped up there to see them. Couldn't find, we commandeered the table by the pool table for about a minute. Then once we were done playing, people were swarming over, like, are you guys done playing? You got, like, all right, let's wander on down the road then, because there wasn't another empty seat in the house other than the smoking room, and I don't smoke, and I'm not hanging around, you know, out there in that.
Right.
So we wander downtown. There's a band going on there as well. So you end up calling me like right towards the end of your show,
yep.
And you're all like, "Dude, I'm up to have some drinks after this. Like, all right, do we want to hit one of the bars in town, or do you just want to come over to my house? Like, you've got that bourbon we haven't tried from Indiana yet. Yes, I do.
That was good stuff.
All right, let's do this. Let's get after that. So you showed up there, and we did that.
Like, you ever remind me what I did? Oh, really? Oh. Was it good? Did I enjoy it? No. I wasn't that bad.
By the time you left.
By the time I left, yeah. It was
bad enough that you don't remember that you said you weren't coming in today.
Yeah, well, the whole idea was nothing like putting a time off request and then showing up anyway. But yeah, the whole idea was working on that floor. And my dad, rest in peace, he could have, if you give him 2 2x4s and 6 nails, he'd build you a house. That skill skipped my generation, or at least me. Maybe not my brother, but we're redoing the floors. I know the listeners be like, "Yeah, here he goes with these damn floors." Strap yourselves in, kids.
So yeah, you're for a ride.
I took a day off, thinking that Dorothy had the day off too. She doesn't, and she is the more carpenter in the family, and that.
Yeah,
even
she's
that's
the
not
one that does
much.
The work.
Yeah, here. Yeah, she's the foreman, and I just do what I okay, dear, and. I'm like looking at things like, well, we still need to move the oven. I'm not going to do that by myself. And I certainly haven't used a circular saw ever. So, you know, I don't want people, because I know all the sensitive people at Solid State Radio would just be calling me Stumpy for the rest of my days.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? Dorothy's going to come home from work and we're going to take care of it. I got things kind of in position and stuff like that. So, yeah. So I'm here to do radio.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Hopefully that we're not going to be referring to you as Stubby when you come back around again. One can only hope.
Right.
Much to do today. A lot of stuff happened in sports over the weekend that we're going to have to cover. We'll dive probably right into Michigan next. It is Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. Cracker at your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is Happy Hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And Adam had a bit of a rant he wanted to get out. And,
yeah, well,
I'm going to let him have the floor.
I was going to say this like during the songs, but I'm like, no, you know what? I think the world needs to hear this. And so I have a ventless fireplace.
Yeah.
And at that point, anybody who works in HVAC, they are freaking out right now.
They're blocking your number in their phones.
They're going to try to talk me off the ledge apparently they're bad for you. Carbon monoxide, blah blah blah. Heating people,
blah blah blah. You're gonna die.
We won't. They won't even work on them. They. I mean, I've.
It's a whole ass thing.
I talked to an Italian HVAC person. As soon as they said ventless fireplace, they spit on the ground. It's
amazing.
I couldn't get people to work on this thing. I was like, the pilot light would light, flames would come on, and then there'd be an audible click, and it would shut down. So I'm thinking thermal coupler, so I go to Home Depot.
Buy one of those and realize you don't know how to install it.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had sidebar. No, I don't know how to install that. I bought it. Dorothy knows. So I was like, honey, I got the thermal coupler for you. No, I walk in, and they had one.
I bought you a present.
They had somebody selling for one of the local heating and cooling people. And he's like, hi, would you like to win $1,000? He says, no, but I'm trying to find an HVAC person who's not a complete wimp when it comes to ventless fireplaces. Oh, well.
Look over there.
Yeah. So I'm here to get a thermocoupler. Hopefully I can find somebody to put it in, or I can put it in because I got a baby that's cold at home. And she's like, well, what about a generator? I'm like, I didn't say I had electricity, you deaf person. Right. I asked her, I was like, well, which is cheaper, a thermocoupler or a generator?
Right.
I mean, you're trying your best, but I'm cold. I'm angry. I don't want to be talking about this. So long story short, we were like looking at YouTube videos, and Harley, my 11-year-old, is, let's just try that. Or just cleaning it out. Yeah. Well, it's probably a little bit more than that, kiddo. I mean, there's an audible click. So he gets in there, he starts dusting things off and everything else, lights it up, and it stays lit. It's been lit. I didn't need an HVAC person. I just need an 11-year-old who watches YouTube.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Your 11-year-old kid watching YouTube videos is braver than HVAC people.
So I've decided for Halloween, I am going to create a haunted house for the HVAC people. It's not really going to be witches or skeletons. It's just going to be flameless. It's going to be ventless fireplaces jumping out at corners and stuff, like scaring the hell out of them.
Anything but that.
Jesus Christ!
I mean, that'll do it, man.
Call my old guitar teacher who is in HVAC. And I'm like, well, I guess my baby's just going to have to freeze. I'll have to figure this out. So he calls me up. Oh, you don't have what's wrong with your furnace? I don't have one. People don't understand. It's like, I don't have a furnace in my house. There's no ductwork. This fireplace, when it works too good. I can't turn it up past 2 or 3, or I will sweat myself out of my house. It works that well.
Right.
So he's just flipping out about the whole thing. He's like, man, you really need to get a carbon monoxide detector. And I said, dude, I did. But that high squealing noise it was making me lightheaded and gave me a headache. He's like, God damn it. He's like, I'm joking. No, I've never had a problem. It's like we have an older kind of house where it's...
You've got that electric baseboard heating, which is the most expensive way to heat a house ever.
Yeah, yeah. I had to turn that on, even though it doesn't even really heat up. Put it up to 70. You'll hear it crackle and you'll smell it cooking something. But no, it doesn't heat up your house. All I heard was the president of DTE squealing in pleasure, knowing that I turned that thing on. Because, yeah, we're about ready to disconnect those and have those pulled right out of the house because they are expensive. They work off of a 220, and it's just...
Yeah, that ain't cheap, man, by any means. Like, you definitely... I don't even know what your options are. Like, I am no king of home repair in my own right, so I don't even know what your option would be to get actual, you know, heat into the place.
Well, the good folks over at Home Depot were suggesting putting an individual heating things into every room of the house.
Because that's not going to cost a crap ton of money.
Oh, it's going to cost a crap ton to purchase it, to install it, to run it.
Yeah.
You know what? How about I just buy this $8 thermal coupler, and let's go from there. And I just needed a $1.50 roll of toilet paper towel and an 11-year-old that, you know, can watch YouTube. Simplest things. This kid... another side note. He went to the store. He usually comes back with candy or something like that. Comes back with coffee for everybody. 4-pack of coffee. It was like we had like a brainstorming meeting we had to get through the weekend, and he brought the coffee.
Well, good on him.
Is it the end of the quarter already?
Right. We're not saying you're the favorite kid, but yeah, you're the favorite right now.
Bringing us coffee helps.
that definitely will give him a few points in your book for sure. Here's Bring Me the Horizon at your local alternative Salt State Radio. Noah Conant dialed drunk at your local alternative Salt State Radio. What's going on? It's happy hour. He's Adam Hairhuck. I'm Sean Cantwell.
Hey, what's going on?
I've learned all sorts of things about you today. I didn't realize you had such a visceral hatred for Tom Green.
Screw Tom Green. It's not like he owes me $20 or anything like that, but he's just annoying. He's that Andy Kaufman kind of comedian that, you know, just irritates you. He wants to irritate you, and that's where he drives his comedy from. And that's just I don't abide by that at all. I think he's annoying. One ball bastard.
I haven't actually watched any of his shows in I haven't seen him do like anything in about 20 years, give or take.
Yeah, it's been a while. His biggest hit was being married to Drew Barrymore.
Well, that's. Hey, give him props for that, man. Yeah. Like, if you had the ability to be somehow managed to convince Drew Barrymore to marry you, I mean, yeah. I don't think anyone would be giving you too much. Well, okay, they probably would be giving you help. More her, really. More would be like, are you okay? Blink twice if you need help.
Yeah. So anyway, he's coming to the machine shop. Plug that if you want. Yeah. Not me. I'm going to Bobcat Goldthwait.
When is that again?
December 8th. Dustin Cole, who helped co-host the show while you were off gallivanting for your honeymoon.
As I do.
He's going to be the opener for that show. It's going to be a good time.
So I'm going to assume we have to get you out of town early on that Friday.
It's just down the street, so yeah, it's not that big a deal. But yeah, so.
Well, that should be a good time all the way around.
Yeah.
Did you manage to get you tickets comp to that one?
No, I paid for them. Well, talk to the Sunny Disposition group that run the picks, and bought my tickets.
Oh, good stuff. Should be a fun time all the way around. We'll talk Michigan next. Your Sponge at Solid State Radio. Taproot at your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Hairhuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. Michigan State hired a new coach.
Did they?
Didn't know if you saw that. Jonathan Smith. He was, until recently, the head coach at one Oregon State.
Ah.
He coaches last game this week. Oregon State, basically going to be one of the Pac-2 as the rest of the conference is up and left. Half of them are joining the SEC. Half of them are joining the Big 12. Half of them are joining the Big 10, if I remember right. That's how it's going to work.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
So you're going to have a lot of changes as the entire coaching staff is being canned, except for, it sounds like, wide receiver coach Courtney Hawkins, who is the one guy where it sounds like even those of us who want Mark D'Antonio's entire country club group to be thrown to the curb are entirely fine with keeping that guy. And then Harlan Barnett, who is the interim head coach, he's going to go back to doing whatever he was doing before, and I don't really need that in my life.
I think it's the one that organizes a Secret Santa every year?
Probably.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's a clean slate, which I'm fine with.
Well, I don't know much about Oregon State. I know that whenever we're doing the picks and stuff like that, they're always in the conversation. They always seem to be ranked or sniffing right around there. So, I mean, if I was a Sparty fan, I'd have cautious optimism.
And that's kind of where I'm at too. Like, and it's gonna be fun. And the first Big Ten conference game that for Oregon, because Oregon's moving to the Big Ten next year, you're gonna be coaching, or they're going to be playing against the head coach of their former rival. So I'm sure they're really looking forward to that.
Yeah.
It's going to be rather interesting. It doesn't sound like he's the greatest recruiting guy, but, you know, it's hard to say there because Oregon State has never been an easy program to recruit to, and even more so in the NIL era. But when you have Oregon, who is always a huge player in the, well, until now, the Pac-12, it's hard to compete against a pretty powerful in-state rival, and, you know, that's not going to be a problem at all coming to Michigan State, I'm sure.
Right.
There is a bit of worrying about that, so you really need guys who are going to be able to recruit around him, but he can he runs a rather physically tough kind of program and can coach players in that direction. It sounds like, really, of the options that are out there, this is one of the better ones, it would seem. I don't hate it. Like, it doesn't seem like Spartan Nation is exactly disappointed with his hiring by any means. Like, I'm okay with it. Was it my first choice? Not necessarily. Was it one of the ones that was in my list of, I swear to God, if they hire this guy, I'm burning all my state gear? No. So there's at least that. Look, I'm just glad they didn't leave the permanent tag on Barnett or try and hire Pat Narduzzi back for some reason. That's you know, what we really, really needed. And apparently he's bringing a bunch of his Oregon State assistants with him to East Lansing, which I'm fine with because, like I said, I want to get rid of pretty much everybody that was associated with the program up to this point. Like, I'm glad to see that guys like Jay Johnson, Scotty Hazleton are getting fired out of cannons into the sun because none of them deserve to coach in a Power 5 program ever again. I don't necessarily need Barnett back. There's a possibility he might get brought back, but I'm not sure. Like, Hawkins is the one that we know for sure is coming over, and he's been, you know, decent when it comes to the recruiting side of things, so I'm fine with him keeping him. I don't need anybody else to be retained here. It looks like Smith's bringing his defensive back coach from OSU, and that from Oregon State, rather, and that's what Barnett was doing before he got promoted, so at the very least, he's not going to be doing that. What is the expectation going forward for State with the new guy? The first season, look, I'll be happy if you win 8 games. I'm not going to lie to you. Realistically, you're probably only going to win like 6 and like barely squeak your way into a bowl of some sort, you know, the Bob Tire Discount Lube Express Bowl.
Yep.
But I'm fine with that for the first year, considering that this program is kind of left in tatters. Like, the COVID year with Tucker really threw a lot of people off, I think, as to what really what he really had and was building here, because it never got better from there. Like, his first year was his best year. He beat Michigan that first year, and it just got progressively worse and worse from there. Like, even if you'd still had Tucker here, I don't think that the results would have been much better than what we ultimately saw this season with the patchwork of D'Antonio cronies that finished out the year. Like, I don't think it was really that much because he just hadn't built it up that way. You had a lot of guys who left, who transferred, who departed from the program in one capacity or the other, or in the case of Kenneth Walker Jr., went to the NFL. And quite frankly, I think Walker is the reason you had that success that you did Tucker's first year here. Like, I think that played into it a lot more than a lot of people would like to think. I mean, you have a running back who's that good, who's basically NFL-bound and has, you know, done quite well for himself with the Seahawks. I think that had a lot more to do with your success that year than Tuck did. So I honestly expect like a 6-7 win season at best next year. But it is one of those where I think he will be able to build from there. I do feel very good about his ability to build up a program from that point. Like, because you look at what he did at Oregon State, and first year, not great. Like, you're not going to exactly get a lot of accolades for going, what was it he went there? 2-10 his first year, but progressively got better as the years went on. Like, it went from 2-10, 5-7. The COVID year, which quite frankly, they only played 7 games, so we don't even count it, to 7-6, to 10-3. They finished this year 8-4, 1-1 in bowl games. For a program that Oregon State had really not done much over the prior decade or so. Like, it was in a pretty rough state when he took over. Like, Gary Anderson left that program completely just depleted. They were kind of like trending downward towards the end of the Mike Riley era. So he managed to get a program that's never exactly been a blue blood of college football by any means and got them playing competitively. I'm interested to see what he'll do with this program. I expect that you'll eventually end up being one of the top end teams in the Big Ten East again. I mean, obviously Michigan and Ohio State are going to be your top two for, well, I don't know about Ohio State. I don't know. We'll get to that coming up next. But I don't dislike this hire nearly as much as I thought I was going to dislike whoever it was or whatever it was they decided to do. I can live with it. I'll be okay with it. And as long as we start to show some signs of life going into next season, you know, I'll I'll be entirely okay with this. Let's hit a break. We'll come back. It is happy hour at your local alternative, South Sea Radio. South Sea weather for the rest of the afternoon. Cloudy skies. Snow showers possible till about 7 o'clock tonight. You're looking at a high of 29. Tonight, snow showers in the evening. Breaks in the overcast in the overnight hours with a low of 18. Tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds with a high of 29 and a low of 20. Then for Wednesday, cloudy skies with a few flurries or snow showers possible. High of 36 and a low of 28. Right now, 26 in Flint, 25 in the Tri-Cities, 25 in lovely, frozen downtown Lapeer under cloudy skies. It feels like the wind's blowing pretty damn bad out there, too.
As somebody who walked in here, yeah. I like our town. I like where we live. But that wind coming off the lake, or the river, I should say, it's cold.
Yeah. Not fun by any means. I'm stalling because I'm trying to get the the actual wind speed up, but apparently the weather app that I use has just decided it's going to... Here, you're going to get a full-page ad that you can't scroll out of, click out of, effing anything. Winds to the west at 15 miles an hour. And it feels like... Well, what is the wind chill? Do we have a wind chill officially yet? Apparently not. Feels like 13. 13! Good Lord. It's too early for this crap. I'm not all about it. Not happy with it. I'm used to like not getting snow until after Christmas the last couple of years, man.
Well, it's going to be in the 40s on Thursday.
Which is good because I got a little bit of driving to do Thursday.
Yeah.
Some things that I got to go take care of. So that I'm glad for that. Like, oh, great, it's going to be snowing the entire way to Sandusky. Great. Here's Cannons. Your local alternative is Solid State Radio. Mad season at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Hairhuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. I know you've been waiting for it all afternoon with bated breath. I can hear you just clamoring around the radio, screaming, because you know what you want us to talk about. And you know what? I am here to give the people what they want.
Yes, the Red Wings won. We're on the same page. We didn't even know it.
Good weekend for the Wings. Back and fourth place in the division now.
Yep, three in a row. If the playoffs were to start today, and they say right around Thanksgiving is a good measuring stick of what kind of team you have.
Yeah.
Well, right now, if the playoffs were to start today, the Wings would have that first wild card spot, and they would meet the New York Rangers in the first round. And who do they play on Wednesday? Well, look at there.
The New York Rangers.
The New York Rangers.
This is going to be one of the bigger tests this team's faced this season. I mean, you've already played Boston twice, and I believe won both of those matchups.
Yeah. Boston only has three regulation losses.
And two of them are against Detroit.
That's right.
You got to love that.
Mm-hmm.
The Rangers I'm worried about, though. I mean, they're the best team in the Metropolitan and tied for the best record in the East. In the whole NHL, actually.
Yeah, they are looking good. I mean, you still have Boston doing Boston like things. They are tied in points with the Rangers. But yes.
Yeah, they are tied for first place in the NHL, much less the Eastern Conference.
But I mean, the Metropolitan, they're not complete slouches, but they're definitely not. I mean, when you got Pittsburgh, not even sniffing around there. Washington not having a great year.
Yeah, this is definitely the tougher division of the two.
They have more points than any of the Metropolitan teams, with the exception of New York Rangers.
Like, you could argue that right now the Atlantic is the toughest division in hockey. And I think I would actually argue that point. I mean,
you got Vegas Golden Knights doing their thing, but...
Vancouver and the Kings, too. So
yeah.
you've got three teams that are really contenders. I mean, Seattle's doing all right, but, I mean, they are what they are. The West basically has Colorado, Dallas. You can make an argument for Winnipeg. I feel like Winnipeg's going to drop off eventually, though.
Yeah.
The Metro has the Rangers and Dialtown. And, the Atlantic has, like, you know, you've got Boston, Florida, Detroit, Tampa, Toronto, and even kind of Buffalo, like, all really in contention in some capacity.
You have five teams... with winning records in there.
Yeah.
I mean, even Florida. Didn't Florida get the memo that they were supposed to just collapse after losing in the Stanley Cup Finals?
It sure sounds like a lot of people were expecting, if not outright hoping for it.
I mean, I sent them a text, but it hasn't been seen yet.
Don't you hate when they have Le'Veon Rod?
Yeah, you were supposed to completely collapse.
How dare you?
They're tied right now with the Wings at 25 points.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. And you got the Blue Shirts coming in on Wednesday. Then you got, let me see who else they got coming in here. Okay, yep. Oh, and then Chicago on the 30th. Yeah, Connor Bedard and the Chicago Connor Bedards coming in on Thursday.
Sponsored by Connor Bedard, of course.
Absolutely, yes. Looking forward to that. And then Saturday, the Habs.
Should be a good time all the way around. I know I'm certainly looking forward to it.
I was just happy to see a lot of afternoon hockey. I didn't get a chance to see that Boston game, unfortunately, but I was.
Nor did I.
It was nice to be able to sit down and watch them play Minnesota, even though Marc-Andre Fleury wasn't in net. Now, you know, I get it, but it was good to see the team really coming alive in the last three games. Joe Valeno getting moved up to the first line. Here's a guy that started out the season on the fourth line, and he has earned himself an upgrade.
No, I mean, you've been very big on Valeno from the day he came to the league, and I've definitely come to see what it is that you see in him.
Yeah.
Like, it's nice to have those guys that really contribute well on that on those lower lines when it comes to scoring and everything else. He's got 5 goals, 3 assists so far through his 20 games this season. He's packed a nice little bit of score and punch. Him and, guys like him and Jake Walman, who I was like, last year, like, why are we keeping these guys on the team?
Yeah.
And they've certainly justified, more than justified, their spots on this roster by any means. It's really nice to see him putting in the work there. Perron with his 300th goal of his career.
Yeah, congratulations to David Perron. Way to go.
One of his 2 goals on Sunday.
I've come to the realization that if I want the Wings to really succeed, I have to stay in the kitchen. Last couple games I've watched it in my home, I go to the kitchen to get something for Joey or a beer for myself, beer for daddy or something like that. And that's when they decide to score. So
every time.
Yeah, every time there's a 5-on-3 or something, I was like, okay, daddy's got to go in the kitchen.
I got to go drink.
I know my place in this.
Adam knows his place is in the kitchen. Said nobody ever. Oh, do we want to talk? There's another trade rumor that we have to discuss. We'll do that.
I like unsubstantiated trade rumors. Yes, I do.
Those are always fun. We'll do it coming up. We'll get to Michigan next, though. Here's the Foo Fighters at Solid State Radio. Blame My Youth, your local alternative to Solid State Radio. It is happy hour. So apparently, the Patrick Kane sweepstakes is heating up. And Detroit's like one of the final two teams.
Between us and Florida. Are you buying this at all?
I mean, he seems to really want to play with Alex DeBrincat. There does seem to be that sort of thing there. Like, looking at this from the latest from Elliot Friedman over at Sportsnet, he's saying there's a lot of things about Kane to the Wings that make sense. Obviously, the DeBrincat thing. Detroit has the cap space. It's simple and easy travel compared to other teams in the league.
Yep.
They have the cap room. They have the space on the roster. They're doing very nicely so far this season. As we look on Sunday night, they're sitting there very much in contention in the Atlantic and the Eastern Conference. They have the second-best goal differential this season. If your goal differential is good, it really says something about who you are. I think there's a lot of people wondering about Detroit and whether or not he ends there. I can't tell you for sure, but I definitely think they're a serious team to watch in this. Florida being the other. Dallas, it's starting to like sound like they're going to drop out of those sweepstakes.
Well, having Patrick Kane is a talented player with one hell of a pedigree. I love what he did at State. He's got 3 Stanley Cups with the Blackhawks.
What he did at State?
Michigan State, yeah. Did he play for State?
What's Kane's State? Is it? Are we?
I'm pretty sure. I thought he played for State. Anyway, while you're looking that up. He's got 3 Stanley Cups. I think he's got a Hart Trophy.
I'm not seeing where he played in college at all. He played for the London Knights.
Oh, okay. Maybe I was thinking of somebody else. Anyway, that guy I was thinking of, loved him.
Oh, he was great. Fantastic. But, I mean, Wings should strongly consider signing him.
But the idea that he's a good player, but here is a guy that is coming off of a hip injury, hip surgery.
Yeah,
and he's. I hear things like, "Well,
easier travel. He can get paid. These are not reasons to come sign for a team. It's almost like
they might be reasons for him to sign a team. They're not reasons for a team to sign him.
Exactly. He's going to get paid. He's going to have a chance to play. But he's not like I just see him being a plug in the roster. And
I don't see him being a plug per se. That seems a bit
If he was doing so well, why did the New York Rangers let him go? I mean,
I don't think the Rangers had the cap space.
Well,
for one,
that could possibly be. I don't know. I mean, would I like to see it? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Daniel Sprong is going to be like, oh, the first time they have an 88 in the roster, and now I got to give up the number because Patrick Kane. This is such BS right now. But, I mean, yeah.
I mean, maybe Kane takes a different – probably not, but
– no, Kane's got a little bit of a ego. He really is. And I'm
saying Sprong's put up more goals than you have this season, dude. So
scoreboard, man. Check your stats.
You can't argue that.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, if it happens, it happens. But I don't know. I just don't see.
I'm fine if it does.
I'm fine if it does, and I'm fine if it doesn't because we have a nice young team. Rather get the younger players sometime because we're not going for a Stanley Cup right now. Sorry, folks. Don't clear off a spot on the mantle just yet. But, you know, so this is
where
we're not. If we did, oh my God, wouldn't that be great? Lions winning the Super Bowl and the Wings winning the Stanley Cup in the same year.
How great would that be?
Wow. That, yep. Then we just kind of like just fold our arms, drum our fingers on our elbow as we look at the Pistons and Tigers. Say, what's up, guys? What are we doing here?
Especially with the Pistons, my God. 13 in a row. They're going for loss number 14 in a row tonight against the Wizards. Good Lord. I remember when we used to have a competent basketball team in Detroit.
We'll get one again someday.
Maybe. Here's Rival Sons at Solid State Radio. Sister Hazel at your local alternative Solid State Radio. So let's talk Pistons. They're getting into going into action tonight against the Washington Wizards, looking to lose their...
Yeah.
No. Okay, no, we're not really going there. All right, we've kept you waiting long enough.
Yep.
Let's get into... Oh, we got to hit a break? Oh,
yeah,
well,
break
damn.
Time.
Damn. No, let's...
Breaking news.
So, Michigan... Ohio State, that was something, wasn't it?
Now, the arrogant thing would be for me to sit here and say, yes, I knew it all along, but...
Anyone who listened to the show on Friday knows it. Yeah, that is a lie.
I didn't even watch the game. I was like, I can't put up with this today. I'm not doing it. And they looked good. I mean, they ended up pulling out the win. It wasn't a blowout. 30-24, you'll take that.
You got to imagine if Ryan Day loses to them again next year that he has to be getting fired, right?
Well,
how many years in a row can you lose to Michigan as the head coach of Ohio State? Well, I didn't think I was even allowed.
He has not won in the 2020s. So,
like, you haven't won a game against Michigan in the last three in a row. You've only lost, I believe, total six games in that span in the regular season, and three of them happen to be against Michigan.
Yeah, but...
I mean, but the expectation, the standard is set a lot higher at Ohio State.
Big Ten and go for a natty. I mean, that's... And for Ohio State, they can say it's that simple because they've done it. Now, how long has Ryan Day been head coach since Urban Meyer left? He's only been, 6 years?
Yeah, it has been since Urban Meyer left.
I know, but when was that?
We're
was
talking
5 years ago.
This is year number six for him.
Okay,
and he hasn't beaten Michigan since. Well, let's see. He didn't play Michigan during the COVID year. They beat Michigan in 2019. So that's the last time they beat U of M.
Yeah, so he's beat them twice in 6 years. Can't hold one against him because it was COVID, but.
You really can't.
So I mean, if he
doesn't Michigan
get
that bailed on that one, like out of concern for the COVID thing, they just backed out of that game mostly because they knew they were going to lose.
Probably.
We lost to Michigan State. Okay, we can't do this.
Yeah,
we all just came have to come down with COVID today.
Damn, Rona. See you later, Buckeyes. I think I would be surprised if Ryan Day's not fired within the next couple of weeks.
I don't think he's going to be fired this year because, like I said, Ohio State has only lost they've only lost six games in the last 3 years, two games a year. I don't see...
And they seem to have a stronger schedule than this cupcake
thing that U of M has.
Right. Like, I don't see them being the kind of program that's going to dump a guy over that necessarily.
Right.
Like, they're an overreactionary bunch there, certainly. Also, keep in mind that when I say they've lost five or six games in that span, well, the other one was number 12, Oregon, in 2021. There was the, I think there was a bowl game in there probably somewhere, too. I think this is counting those, because they lost to Georgia in the SEC, or lost to Georgia in the, was it the semifinals? After which Georgia went on to smoke TCU, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, they're counting the bowl games in there, too. So, in the regular season, you literally lose to Michigan, usually, except for the one year where you lost to Oregon, too. I don't think that even as insane as they are in Columbus, I don't think they're going to kick them to the curb over that. 4 years in a row, though, if you lose to them, I think that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, clean out your office.
Yeah, at that point, they're most certainly going to be done. Like, there's no way they're not going to tolerate that for that long.
We'll still have to see what the Wolverines look like.
Well, I mean, we're not even looking at moving on to next season yet with the Wolverines, though, because you've still got, you have the Big Ten title game, which is you're going to walk all over Iowa. It's F in Iowa, of course you are. But you've still got, remember, the this year you're still in contention. You're almost assured a college football playoff spot now, unless you somehow manage to completely bleep the bet against Iowa.
Yeah, that would be bad. If, I don't know,
or unless if
Harbaugh is
going
to be back, if Harbaugh is going to be back with her, he's going to get suspended. He's going to hear more about this sign stealing stuff, or if he takes another job somewhere. You know, there's always that big question. Who's going to be returning? Is J.J. McCarthy? I don't know. Where is he? Where is he in there? Is he going to be going for the draft this year?
Yeah, he's draft eligible. He is a senior this – you know, he's a junior this year, but it sounds like there's talk he may declare for the draft. I'm going to be curious to see that because I don't know if he necessarily gets drafted that high.
Oh, I think so.
I he's not even in my top five QBs up for this draft, to be perfectly honest with you. Not that the class is that great, but that just tells you just how where he's at.
Blake Corum, who knows what's going to happen with him. I don't know if he's a sophomore this year. I think he's a junior.
Corum is a senior.
Senior. He's going for the draft.
Yeah, he's getting drafted by somebody. He's going to go somewhere, and he's going to tear up the NFL. I feel fairly confident about that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like they put all their eggs into one basket for this season.
And so far, it's paying off. If Harbaugh can just call him the you know what down.
If he can beat an SEC team,
yeah, I hope so.
You're gonna have to beat at least one to win a natty. Like that, there's no way around that.
Yeah,
more than likely you're gonna have to beat Georgia, and I have no confidence that you can do that.
Ugh, yikes!
Georgia has not lost a game yet this season, yeah. And they won't have by the time you see them. Not going to happen. I don't know if I like your odds against Washington even. Like
really?
No, I mean, Michael Penix Jr. has had just a great season, 32 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. He's thrown for almost 4,000 yards. I think he will have thrown for 4,000 yards by the time you would meet up with him in the playoffs. Like, I don't – like, you haven't faced a QB that good, including this Saturday against Ohio State, because, hate to tell you this, Kyle McCord, not that good. Look at his numbers by comparison, 24 touchdowns to 6 interceptions – not even 3,200 yards. Like, he's not as good as he's the best QB you faced, but that's not saying anything because you haven't arguably faced a good quarterback this season. So I'm not really sure that I like your odds against whatever team you'd match up against in the playoffs, unless it's Florida State. Florida State, I think maybe you could possibly handle. I have more faith in you when it comes to that team. But if they end up moving up and Ohio State moves out, what if Ohio State stays in, though? And you set yourself potentially up for a rematch there.
In the playoffs.
I would imagine that's how that would... Because right now, Ohio State would probably, I imagine, drop to fourth at best. So, no. They would only, I guess, set you up for the rematch if they were to beat Georgia, which, again, they're not doing. They've gone up against a similar Georgia team.
I mean, let's just talk hypotheticals.
Michigan, Ohio State for a natty.
And Michigan beats him again. Ryan Day will be jettisoned.
They'll bring a crimson and silver catapult, put Ryan Day in there, and
that's fair, but also, right, if they manage to beat Georgia, you really think they're going to lose to Michigan again?
I'm just talking hypothetical here. Would that be funny?
It'd be hilarious.
Wouldn't that be great?
It'd be hilarious, and I'd love to see it, but I don't think there's any.
Michigan gets the natty, and Ryan Day gets fired.
I mean, it'd be
a wonderful world.
It would be the best of all possible outcomes, but I don't think it's anything resembling a realistic possibility, unfortunately.
Such a pessimist.
Yeah, I'm the realist on this show. That's usually how that works. It's Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around.
That's it. It's over.
Jack Daniels!
It is Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. It's set to get the hell out of Dodge and turn things over to a full hour of local original music next on a little show we like to call Solid State Sessions.
Woohoo!
We're back at it tomorrow at 3 with Overreaction Tuesday, and I don't know. We'll figure out the rest when we get there. Probably be talking about the Pistons celebrating a milestone of sorts. Talk to you then. See ya.